Once we have cleared the misunderstandings about the sovereignty of God, then it will be so much easier to understand the subject of healing. Today we are going to remove these misunderstandings. But isn't God sovereign and in control of everything and chooses when to heal? God is sovereign and in control of everything. He is God. At the same time, God never contradicts himself. And we need to be careful how we apply this statement regarding healing on which God has taught us so much. God gave us laws like sowing and reaping, 2 Corinthians 9, Galatians 6. That means not everything just happens how God intended it in the first place, which is pretty obvious when we look around and listen to the news. In God's sovereignty, he has chosen to give some authority and responsibility to us. For example, Proverbs 18, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Or at another place, the Bible says you can prolong your days. So that means also that you can shorten them if you do the opposite. 1 Corinthians 11 mentions that some are weak, sick, or asleep, died early. It doesn't say God ordered that. It wasn't God's sovereignty, but because we didn't discern the body, it was a consequence of our action. Therefore, not everything that happens, God wanted it to happen that way. So we can't put everything down to God's sovereignty. Was it the will of God that the epileptic son got healed? Yes. Was he healed when the disciples prayed for him? Whoops. One big hindrance is that we are opinionated. Sometimes we unconsciously guard our opinion and close our ears to the Bible. We may even do that with a sincere heart. John 14 says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. If we do the same as he did, then we can't say, maybe it's God's will that you stay sick, bound, and in pain because he's sovereign. Jesus never said that. Jesus healed all. And he didn't change. Hebrew 13, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can't say, I'm suffering for Jesus. In the Bible, suffering for God always refers to persecution in one or another way, but never directly to sickness as we looked at in question 4. 2 Timothy 3, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Yes, we do suffer hardships for the gospel's sake. If somebody cried for mercy to be healed, did Jesus help? Yes. Why do we say, let's hope God chooses to heal you? Or, oh well, our sovereign God works in mysterious ways, and one day we will find out all about it. He has got his reasons, you know, why not to heal you. The Bible says in Ephesians 1, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure which he purposed in himself. If he has made known to us the mystery of his will, then it's not a mystery anymore because he made it known. If you keep information from me, then it's a secret and a mystery to me. But if you choose to tell me, then it's not a mystery anymore. Of course, we don't know all things. But we do know what God has revealed to us in his word. And there is an awful lot about his will concerning healing. If we say, I'm glorifying God with my sickness, then why do you go to the doctor? I'm not meaning to be mean here. I just want to logically challenge you. You should remain sick. If God is doing it, then why do you try to get out of his lesson? But isn't that a logical question? By the way, I'm not against doctors. I'm glad we have them. They have saved a lot of lives. But now you may say, no, I'm not saying God is doing it. I'm saying he's allowing it. Okay, in other words, what you're saying is, if I don't get healed, God has chosen not to heal me, or it's not his will for me to be healed. And this is the point right there. you are determining what the will of God is based on what is happening in a physical fallen world, rather than establishing God's will from the Word of God and the life of Jesus, and then seeking to bring the physical reality into line with His will. We should start with the Word of God first and seek to bring our lives in line with it, rather than starting with our life situation first and trying to interpret God's will from that. If you believe God teaches through sickness, then you are in unconscious rebellion against His will if you go to the doctor to seek help. You are trying to get out of the lesson. And please refer to question 3 for more on God teaching us in sickness. If sickness were from God to draw you to Him, then would it not be a good idea to pray for sickness? Of course not. You wouldn't wish that on anyone. Why do you think God would? If sickness was from God, then going to God for healing would mean that you are going to the very being that is causing you harm. That wouldn't make sense. That is like going to the school bully and asking him for help to protect you from himself. And that would be strange. Matthew 12 says, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand." If God heals but also makes sick, His kingdom is divided. Therefore, He doesn't cause sickness in His sovereignty, because that kind of sovereignty would go against His own word, and God never goes against His own word. 1 John 5 says, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one." God is not the only one controlling events in our world. The evil one has control too. Of course, God will win in the end. We are here to manifest Jesus. Police officers are agents given charge to enforce the country's sovereign laws. God is sovereign and has appointed His sons to be the agents that fulfill His will. Jesus prayed, "Your will be done," and then went about doing it. He didn't pray, "If it be thy will be done," and sat down and waited. God's will happens when people activate it by faith. Let me explain this. God wants to save you, right? How does it happen? He convicts you of your sin and reveals to you that Jesus paid for it and gives you the choice to accept it. How do you accept it? Repent and receive forgiveness of sin by faith. The will of God for your life is only done when you receive Him by faith. God has sovereignly chosen to work through faith, not enforce Himself upon people. This is how God sovereignly instituted it. Faith and actions always go together, as we read in James 2. You couldn't have faith in Him if He is not always the same. That would defeat the purpose. Sometimes we take the word sovereignty, rip it apart, and destroy it. What we interpret that sovereignty is has nothing to do with what the Bible says about sovereignty. God always sticks to the book. He never goes against His own book. If I said to my sons, "When you are good for 1 month and obey, then I will take you both to our favorite ice cream shop." 1 month later, they come and ask me, "How have we been?" "Yes, you really were good indeed. I'm so proud of you. But you see, at the moment, it's not possible to go to have an ice cream. I have so much work to do, and it's not ice cream weather anyway. I'm really sorry, but you have been really great." How do you think they would feel? If it were my sons, they would be totally devastated. Especially one of them would not get over it for days. They would come to the conclusion that we can't really trust our daddy. What he says could be or could not be. He gives mixed messages. Jesus says in Matthew 5, "But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one." If Jesus says that to His disciples, don't you think He Himself would do the same? God doesn't give mixed messages to us as earthly fathers to their children. So yes, God is sovereign, but everything that happens is not because God has willed it to happen. His will is not always carried out. Does he want everybody saved? Yes, it is his will that everyone gets saved, because hell was only made for the devil and his demons. God says clearly in Matthew 25, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." And it also clearly says of God, "Who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." Do all get saved? No. This brings us to the believer's responsibility. Our responsibility is to have faith in God and then act accordingly. If your faith is misplaced, your actions will be inconsistent. But in conclusion to this question, I want to say that if you don't get healed, never let yourselves be condemned, because God would never condemn you either. We all grow in faith and never grow bitter against God. As I have mentioned in one of my previous talks, I've prayed for people and some got healed, but also many didn't. But I want to grow in it, and then there will be more healings. If somebody isn't healed, I never jump to the conclusion it's because of God's sovereignty and he chose that person not to get healed, as we have learned from the epileptic son that that is not true. I've lost a lot of people with cancer, including my own mom. But I didn't come to the conclusion that God wanted my mom to die with cancer. If God thinks that way, then how can you reconcile that with a loving God? If Jesus stood next to my mom's deathbed, would he say, "It is my will that you die with cancer"? This kind of Jesus is not found in the Bible. Any mindset which takes away our spiritual sword and shield, Ephesians 6, is an unbiblical mindset. That's a healthy biblical thinking to go by. If you come to the place where you stop fighting and say, "Let's just stop praying and settle for the sovereignty of God," that could easily lead you to an unbiblical mindset. Whatever will be, will be. So yes, God is sovereign, and in his sovereignty, he has chosen to use us and commanded us to heal. And as you go, preach, saying, "The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." Thank you very much for watching. Our next question will be, "But Jesus picked only one chosen man at the pool and left all others unhealed." See you soon.